challenge to us, a help to us. So I ask you to pray with me that the Lord will speak to your heart tonight. I'm thrilled that any time I open the pages of this book, God is speaking to us. He's trying to say something. And let's find out what he's trying to say to us here in this passage. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 46. Now, if you're keeping notes with me, I've preached already down through verse number 45. And we pick up our study in verse number 46. This is our Old Testament book that we're studying through together. The Word of God says, "Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him." Now, this is after he interpreted the king's dream. Verse 47, "The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king." You'll notice throughout these verses 46 through 49, that the name Daniel is given over and over again. It's found in verse 46, verse 47, verse 48, and verse 49. And tonight I just simply want to preach to you for a little while from these four verses on the man Daniel. There are several things about him just in these four verses that we can learn from, glean from. And let's ask the Lord to challenge our hearts tonight from these verses. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you for having a copy of your word. And I pray as we open it and preach it, I pray that you be the preacher. Would you calm our hearts, help us to understand what's being said. And may tonight be a life-changing night. Even though it's simple thoughts, may it never be forgotten by us this evening, I pray. Challenge us from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've traveled through this book together and come to this passage of Scripture, we've already learned that Daniel was a true man of God that all of us can learn from today. Daniel was a man who stood for the Lord and gave his word faithfully no matter what the cost may be. Daniel is gone before King Nebuchadnezzar. When you come to our text today, he's gone before King Nebuchadnezzar and he's interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Now, in that dream, the Lord was revealing to the king, we've already studied it, but he was revealing to the king what the future held for his own kingdom and even for the world itself. He revealed that all the world's kingdoms would be destroyed, if you remember, by the stone cut out without hands that came rolling down from the mountain. Now, when we think of men in the Bible that we would do well to imitate, Daniel could very well be on that list. As a matter of fact, he ought to be on that list. He was truly a man of God who lived his life to please his Lord. Now, it's this Daniel that is on display for us, for our attention, in these closing four verses of chapter number 2. And as we consider these closing four verses, I see three things about him. And these three things are so simple, it's almost ridiculous. But yet it's things that we can glean from, we can apply to our lives. And let me give you these three things about Daniel tonight, tying myself down to these four verses. Number one, I call this, first of all, Daniel's production. We see this in verses 46 and 47. Now, when you read these verses, notice it. It says, "The king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." After Daniel revealed the dream's interpretation, it's interesting that the Bible says the king fell down before him and the king began to worship Daniel. And he commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto Daniel. Now imagine, if you will, this young man. Many believe he's a teenager at this time. Imagine this young man standing before a mighty king, speaking the truth to him, not knowing how the king would respond. Keep in mind, Daniel has just told this king, you are going down. He's already told him that. He's being honest with him. He's given the interpretation exactly how God gave it to him. And little does he know how this king is going to respond. When all of a sudden the king bows before him and begins to worship him and said some wonderful things about his God. Now stay with me here just a minute. There's some differences of opinion as to what this means when he worshiped Daniel. Some people believe that it literally means that he was worshiping him as a god and that Daniel put him in his place. While others teach that this was his way of worshiping Daniel's God through this man Daniel. Here's the point though. Whether Daniel protested to the king for worshiping him, or whether the king was simply bowing to one of God's servants, the point is, we hear a pagan king saying some wonderful things about Daniel's God that was produced, there's where I get production, that was produced through this young man's actions. Here's the point. Daniel produced praise for his God from a pagan king. In the king's praise of Daniel's God, you'll notice he called him a God of gods. That's his superiority. He called him a Lord of kings. That's his sovereignty. And he called him a revealer of secrets. And that is his omniscience. Keep in mind that this is a pagan god. Excuse me, a pagan king. He knows not the God of heaven. But all he knows is that whoever this young man's God is the God I'm searching for. Whoever this young man's God is, he's the one that can reveal secrets. He's the one that's the God of gods. He's the one that's the Lord of kings. One man said, John Butler said, it was Daniel's performance that prompted Nebuchadnezzar's praise of Daniel's God. This reminds us that all our talents and gifts and endowments are given us to primarily bring honor to God. Does our performance cause others to glorify God? See, too often, however, we use our endowments for personal glory and not for God's glory. Furthermore, too many professing Christians live in such a way that people dishonor God as a result. The point is that Daniel's life produced praise for his God. You know, it's time we understand something. All of our lives produce praise for somebody. I am praising somebody with my life. So are you. You know, may we take the challenge here from Daniel and ask God to help our life, even cause the pagan people to recognize there's something different about who we serve. You know, on the flip side of it, in Judges chapter 16, verse 23, this is the story when Samson had been flirting with sin. Remember, he went to the valley of Sorek, I call it. I preach a message on living on the edge. He was kind of straddling the Israelite land and the Philistine land, and it was in that valley that he met Delilah, living on the edge. Make a long story short, she cuts his hair. The Philistines pluck his eyes out, and they have him tied up. And Judges chapter 16, verse 23 says this, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, little g, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Question, was that the truth? Was it Dagon that delivered Samson? No. It was Samson who delivered Samson. But yet the God that Samson served was belittled and not worshipped and blasphemed. And another God that's not a God at all received praise through Samson's life. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask me a question. Let me ask all of us a question. Does our life praise God or Dagon? Which one is it? There's no middle ground. Is my life producing praise for God, like Daniel? Or is my life producing praise for Dagon, like Samson? We need to understand something. Our God is worthy of praise. He is worthy tonight. And one way He gets it is through the lives of His children. We learn this from Daniel. Number one, his production. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men." Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, "Live right so the world can see your good works and glorify your Father above." You know why I'm alive? The purpose of my life is not to glorify me. It's to glorify the Lord. Am I doing that in my life? Number one, his production. Number two, his promotion. We see this in verse number 48 of our text, where it says, "Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon." You know, in this verse, we see King Nebuchadnezzar promoted Daniel. The Bible says he made him a great man. He gave him a high-ranking position. He put him over all the wise men, and he made him the ruler of the whole province of Babylon. Put it this way, Daniel became prime minister, friends. King Nebuchadnezzar put him in a major position of authority. He was promoted. Let me ask you a question. What can you learn from that? I mean, what's the point of application? Here it is. It's amazing to consider that this pagan king taking God's servant who stood uncompromisingly in that land and exalting him to a high position. Here's a young man who said no to the king's orders. He said no to the king's meat. He said no to the king's wine, chapter 1. The king has a dream, and he calls for somebody. They bring Daniel in, and Daniel gives it to him straight. He says, "You are the head of gold, and you, sir, are going down." He's giving it to him straight. This is God's choice servant in a pagan land. But when it's all said and done, he has favor with the king. And he is put in a position of authority in that land. And there's a great thought that comes out here. Oliver Green said, and I quote, "Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not deny his God. He would not bow to the king. He would not defile himself with the king's meat and wine. Whatsoever he did in Babylon, he would do to the glory of God and not to the glory of the heathen king." Daniel remembered God, and God remembered Daniel. He will never allow anything to befall his servants without his permission. Even in Daniel's day, Oliver Green quoting, "All things work together for good to them who love God." The point of application is this: God can do anything he wants to do. He can give favor before even pagan kings to the point that they honor and promote his children. I didn't say he's going to do that, but I said he can do that if he so chooses. Bottom line is this: no man is really an authority on planet Earth. God is ruling and reigning. Makes no difference who they are who think they're making decisions, whether it be Johnson City, Gray, Kingsport, in Washington, makes no difference. Other states, other countries, our God has the power to do anything he wants to do. And you learn that from this right here. Nebuchadnezzar, who could have had his head cut off whenever this young man said, "You're going down, sir. Your kingdom's not going to last, sir. Your kingdom's going to be destroyed, sir. At that moment, he could have had him killed just like that. But God had other plans. And God turned that man's heart to the point to where he showed favor and promoted this servant of God. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." Here's the point. Let's just do right and trust God for the results. If we do right and God turns the wicked people's heart and they promote us, thank God for it. But if we do right and they cut our head off, God's in control either way, friends. It's His call, not theirs. And nothing will happen to God's children that does not pass through His hand first. That doesn't mean that everything that happens is God's will. That's not what I said. But it must pass through His hand first. May I tell you this? When the devil attacked Job, are you listening to me? That wasn't the will of God. That was the wicked one after him. But even the wicked one had to get permission. I don't understand all of that. I don't pretend to understand all of that. But I know this. I can have peace in my heart because of that. And I can lay my head on my pillow at night because of that. And realize I don't have to worry about all this nonsense going on planet Earth because I am as secure in my Father's hands as He wants me to be at this moment. And if He wants to promote me, He can. Doesn't mean He will, but He can. That's His promotion. Rest in the sovereign hand of God. Number one, we notice His production. He produced praise for God. Number two, we notice His promotion, that God turned the king's heart, a pagan king's heart, to where He favored Daniel, and God can do anything He wants to do. Number three, we notice His petition. This is found in verse number 49, where it says, "Then Daniel requested," he petitioned, he asked of the king, "and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king." It's a beautiful thing about Daniel here. Here is Daniel, a young man. Daniel has marched into the presence of the king and he's given it to him straight. Daniel has purpose in his heart. He's not going to defile himself with the king's meat and the king's wine. He's not going to do it. Daniel stood for God. But he did not stand alone. We find in the opening two chapters, if you remember, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They changed their name to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their Babylonian names. Those three men stood beside Daniel. May I say this? I'm getting ahead of myself. It's a blessing to stand, but it's even a greater blessing not to have to stand alone. And there's three things you notice about this petition. It's interesting that the king has bowed down before Daniel. He has deferred his praise to God. He promotes Daniel into a great man. And you know, in our flesh, Daniel could have been walking around with his chest out like this. Look at me. Look at what happened to me. Look who I am. Not Daniel. Not Daniel. May I say this to you? I'm talking about it as long as I've known about him. I've always respected Daniel. But Daniel is quickly becoming one of my heroes. I do more than respect this man now. What a man of God this man was. As soon as he's promoted, he thought of others. There's three things I want you to get from this petition. Number one, letter A. Daniel earned the respect to be heard. One man said the consenting to this petition of Daniel's, in other words, the king even listening to it, in other words, back in this day, the king was, I'm going to use the word sovereign, not like God, but he can do anything he wanted to do. So the consenting, the agreeing to this petition of Daniel showed the strong influence he had upon Nebuchadnezzar. And it showed the great respect that Nebuchadnezzar had for Daniel. But Daniel had earned that influence and respect through the godly living and wise conduct. You know, there are too many professing Christians that complain of their lack of acceptance and respect on the job. I'm quoting this. But many of them have only themselves to blame, for they do not do well on the job and therefore do not have a good respect by their peers. Here's the point. We should live in such a way that they may not agree, but they will respect. I didn't say that they're respectful. I didn't say that they'd agree. But we ought to live in such a way that even pagan people can show respect. I'm talking about our testimony, friends. I'm talking about the way we do things. They may not agree with us, but they should not be able to disrespect us. They may disrespect, but if they disrespect, it ought to be their fault, not ours. Amen? God bless every one of you who said that amen right there. Amen tonight. I'm telling you, we ought to live in such a way that even the unbelieving world, even though they may disrespect, they may not agree, but one thing they know is our life backs up our words. Number one, he earned the respect to be heard. Number two, this is under his petition. I've already alluded to this. He did not forget those who stood with him. He did not forget those who stood with him. From the opening chapter of this book, we have seen how these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, their Babylonian names, stood with Daniel for the glory of God. I personally believe that Daniel would have stood all alone, okay? He didn't need Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel was going to do right no matter what them three did. That's my personal opinion. But here's the point, he didn't have to. He would have, but he didn't have to. There were those three who stood by him as he stood for the Lord. You know, thank God for those who stand by you when you stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. At this time, we see Daniel refuse to forget those men who had stood by him. Let me ask you a question. Has someone helped you in your devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ? Has someone stood by you when you try to stand for Jesus Christ? Maybe a close friend, maybe a mate, maybe a child, a parent, a grandchild, a co-worker. Hey, if you are a worker out in the world and you're standing for Christ and you have a co-worker who's standing with you, you ought to get on your face and thank God for that. Amen. Hey, it's a privilege to stand, even if it's alone. But isn't it a blessing when you have somebody standing with you? Sure it is. Sure it is. If you have somebody who has stood beside you, don't ever forget them. Honor them. By the way, this could be a departed parent. Some of you all right now might be thinking of a mom or dad that right now you think, boy, if anybody ever stood by me in my walk with Jesus Christ, it was my mom. It was my dad. They're not here. They're with Jesus. You ought to live the rest of your days on planet Earth remembering how they stood with you. And honor them by living right and doing what God wants you to do. Number one, this petition, he earned respect from the Lord. Number two, this petition, he did not forget those who stood with him. And number three, this petition, he chose the right kind of leaders to put in place. I like this thought. When Daniel requested for these three men to be promoted, he was choosing the right kind of leaders to be in place. See, these men were men of character. They had proven it over and over and over again. They were men of integrity. Daniel knew he could trust them. Daniel knew that if they were put in position, it was going to help turn that place around for God. I like what one man said. The three men whom Daniel requested to be put in high office had been men who stood with Daniel in the diet test and men who had prayed with him regarding the recalling and interpreting of the dream. Thus, these men were pious men, which meant they were men of high character. And when it comes to position in the government or school or church, we need men of character. And I say amen right there. We who choose leaders, I choose them. Some of you all choose them. We who choose leaders can learn a valuable lesson from Daniel right here. And that is, choose men and women who are proven. Choose men and women who are men and women of character, integrity. Men and women you can trust. Men and women with a proven track record. That doesn't mean that their track record is perfect. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about somebody that's never messed up. Come on, friends, we all mess up. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody that you know you can trust them. They've proven themselves over and over and over again. They are men and women of character, integrity, the right spirit. God, give us leaders like that. And Daniel wanted this king. He specifically asked for Shadrach. He specifically asked for Meshach and Abednego. Why? Because he knew they loved God. And he chose that kind of leader. Let me ask you a question. Boy, this is a pierce to my heart right here. I'm convicted right here. I hope he would choose me. But let's just think. Let's forget about everybody else but us. In other words, I'm not thinking about you. I'm thinking about me. You think about you. Don't think about me. Think about yourself. Just you. If you were in Babylon when Daniel was there, and Daniel was in that room with that king by himself, he's just stood for God like he has. And he's promoted him to a great position. And instead of Daniel being consumed with himself, he begins to think of those on the outside of the room. And he begins to petition Nebuchadnezzar. People of character and integrity and people that love God and who will not bow and who will stand tall no matter what the price may be. I wonder, would Daniel look at Nebuchadnezzar and say, King, I've got a request for you. I want you to put Jody in position. Good night, that's convicting to me. That's challenging. That is a challenge to my heart tonight. Would Daniel call your name and say, put him or her in position to lead others? Wow. That's not my notes, friends. I believe the Holy Spirit of God inspired that right there, prompted that right there. That's gripped me. Wouldn't you like to be somebody that Daniel, with all of his heart, would feel comfortable calling your name out to Nebuchadnezzar? Would you like that? Yes or no? With your life the way it is, could he? Would he? I hope so. You know the beautiful thing? If you say, no, he'd never call my name. Confess it to God, get it right. Because in a moment, he could be able to. That's the way our God is. In these closing verses of this chapter, Daniel is once again on display. We saw how he produced praise for his God, and we are producing praise for somebody. Let it be God. We saw how he was divinely promoted by a pagan king, and in that we learn that God is in control. He can do anything he wants to do with his children. And we learn that he petitioned the king to elevate his godly friends. And in that, may we earn the respect to be heard. May we never forget those who stand with us when we stand for God. And may we choose the right kind of leaders to be in place over others. In all of this, we learn some valuable lessons. Simple, but valuable lessons to apply to our life. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight, and I pray that you will help us to be faithful to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're preparing for the invitation. As soon as they get prepared, they can begin to play through softly. Tonight, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? I'm not asking, are you 90% sure, 98, 99%? I'm asking, are you 100%? Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Has there been a time where you've put your faith and trust completely, totally in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for you? If not, why don't you come in just a moment? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you about these specific thoughts. Let me just ask the questions and we'll extend the invitation. Is your life producing praise to God? Are you living in such a way that God can work in your life? Are you earning respect of others? Is there somebody you do not need to forget who stood with you? If you choose leaders, are you choosing the right ones? And if you are a leader, are you the right kind? These are the lessons we learn. Let's all stand together, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, help folks to respond. Somebody needs to be saved, save them. Somebody's life needs to be changed, change them. And make us more like Daniel here in this passage. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, would you come now? Would you do it, please?
Have thine own way.
You say, I want to be like Daniel. I want to be like that. You come.
Thou art the potter.
Ask God to help you.
Give you strength. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Thank you. You can be seated. I'm going to call on Brother Harry. He's going